Hi, this is Kara from the Pure Rock Shop on WNJR 91.7 FM, Washington, PA, and WNJR.org. I'm on the line with singer Robert Mason to discuss Warrant's new album, Louder, Harder, Faster. Robert, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Nice to talk to you.
You know, I've been lucky enough to catch a few Warrant shows this past year and finally get to see you fronting the band. I really think that you're a great fit for Warrant, but I'm pretty sure the last time Warrant played here in the Pittsburgh area, Jamie St. James from Black and Blue was still singing for them. So can you fill in our local fans on how you began singing for Warrant?
I think we were in your hood very recently, actually. Or we've got a date coming up.
You have one coming up, actually, in October. So,
I'm sorry, coffee all day? What was the question?
So how did you start singing for Warrant? I know you've been in the band quite a while now, but for anyone who hasn't seen you with them locally, how did you join Warrant?
Well, I had a history. My band Lynch Mob had supported Warrant in arenas 92-93.
Okay.
On the road, when we both had records out, Janie and I were fast friends in starting about 91 or so when I was making that record. So that was pretty instrumental in Warrant asking Lynch Mob to come out and be direct support on that arena tour for Warrant's Dog Eat Dog record. So I had legacy and history. We had made friends. We both kind of, did our own paths and met up again quite by accident at Rocklahoma in 2008.
Okay.
Shortly after, it was probably July of 08. And I realized that they were going through some tough times with Janie. Janie was going through a little bit of a struggle with keeping himself healthy on the road. And that may have planted the seed. It was a pretty quick process. Within a month or two, I think by about Labor Day or so, I was in the band because it was a more organic fit. They didn't go out and cattle call, and there was no nefarious scheming or anything like that. It was really just a matter of, gosh, this guy's really not suited to be on the road. He's got issues that we really, really need to work through, and everybody really tried hard. Yeah, I know that when they got back together with all five original members back in late 07, they made a press announcement about it, and I went right to, I texted Janie, called him, left him messages, wishing him luck, and never heard back, but, then saw when the band was going through whatever they were going through, that, there were four out of five cylinders, doing the job, and one guy that really, sadly, couldn't, because I was a fan and a friend first.
Mm-hmm.
So it came from a really organic place. I guess that's my point.
Sure.
Jerry Allen called me a few weeks after and said, "Man, this is not getting any better. We really want Jamie to get better, and we want to continue on because we have all these shows and obligations, and everybody has expectations. We really want to do this. Are you willing to at least come out and give it a shot?" And I did, and it worked really well. It felt great from the first song. I had one rehearsal. I think Joey Allen called me Labor Day or around thereabouts, 2008, and said, "Okay, here's the thing. We can have one rehearsal." I think it was probably, whenever it was, that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or whatever it was of that week, Labor Day in 08 or thereafter, I was having a barbecue with some friends over at my place in Phoenix. And he said, "Man, it makes me really happy to ask you this, and it makes me really sad on the other hand, so please bear with me. Do you want to be in a band? The good news is we have one rehearsal in Burbank in 2 days. The bad news is you have a show in 4 days." And, but it's in Tucson, opening for Alice Cooper at the ABBA Amphitheater. So it was really kind of, bittersweet in a lot of ways, but
right,
that's how it happened.
Okay, well, thank you for giving us the history on that. I know it's, hard to think back. And, so moving forward, I wanted to ask you, how you guys prepare for a new album. Are you always, you block off time for it, or are you always writing on the road? How does a typical Warrant album come about?
Personally, I'm always kind of writing. I go through periods of more or less activity and more or less inspiration, when the muse hits you. I spend I spent a little time the past few years out in Nashville, you know, a couple of trips, a few trips, you know, a year out there in my downtime, just to become a better writer and kind of immerse myself with all of the really cool. I go straight for all like the cool country guys that I like, all the great writers that I and have been granted access, very thankfully, to some circles of writers that are just, you know, amazing writers and performers as well, producers. So it made me a little bit better songwriter, I hope. You know, you try to be self-improving. I'm always writing on airplanes, writing lyrics, or, you know, things I see around me. You get a lot of downtime in our band flying when you're pretty much captive in a metal tube at, you know, 37,000 feet for a few hours, and you're, you know, you're flying to a gig. And I put what I refer to as the don't talk to me kit on, you know, like sunglasses, hoodie, you know, in-ear monitors, you know, those old things you stick in your ears on stage. You know, I've got those basically super high-end headphones, and I sit with a laptop, a pad, an iPad, my phone, and just type in there. And eventually I've got a, you know, backlog of lyrics. I play a couple instruments, not very well, but well enough to write songs. So I sit every morning when I'm home with an acoustic guitar, an electric, or at my piano, and I try to make a song come out.
Okay.
And that's kind of, you know, the work ethic. Like I said, you go through periods of inspiration and lack thereof, but I think if you stick at it, you know, the harder I work, the luckier I get, kind of thing. And song ideas come, and then, you know, we spent a little time between that Rock Pollock record that came out, it was 2011, and this one, clearly, we don't have that same pressure. It's not like the old record company thing, okay, you sign a deal, you have X amount of records due in X amount of years, record, rehearse, tour, come home, write, record, rehearse, tour, you know, wash, rinse, repeat. You don't keep doing that more. So I think these days you make records because you want to, because you really love the process in it. And I love performing. I have to say, you know, here's my disclaimer. I love doing the back catalog Warren stuff. I love playing live shows. That's my heart, like really connecting with an audience. And I take that, the legacy that I've inherited, very seriously. And I try to do that to the best of my ability. And clearly, you know, fans know that those are songs from the history. That's the legacy of the band before I came around. But just so fans know, like, I was around during a lot of that stuff. I mean, I went to probably 15 or 20 of those Blood, Sweat, and Beer shows.
Okay.
You know, 91, 92, nights, like when I was in Lynch Mob, because we were all friends.
Right.
So I'd hop on an airplane if we had downtime. I'd go to, you know, wherever, and just show up at a gig. And like, hey, I'm on the bus. I'm, you know, hey, jump up on stage and do the encore with us. So I've done that. So there was, like I said, there was that natural feeling when I got in the band. Jerry Dixon says, well, Mace, you write songs, don't you? You know, and kind of goading me into it back in 08. You know, very shortly after I was in the band, we started just getting together on song ideas. Once we had enough, we got a label, got a producer, put a record out, you know, and that was the Rockaholic record. We did pretty much the same thing this time. I think we started to feel maybe a little obligation to do one. You know, your booking agency says, well, or your publicist or somebody says, hey, you know, you've got that second record obligation on Frontiers. I mean, they're patient and everything, but it's a great vehicle for press. You know, like, clearly we're on the radio talking about Louder, Harder, Faster. So, well, eventually we will be talking about it, I hope. But, you know, that's how that comes about. Once we feel we have a batch of songs that we're happy enough with that seem to have merit and seem to go, you know, be cohesive to us, that's when we did it. So
cool. Well, you know,
that's what does it for me.
You mentioned it, and, you know, it always seems like you guys are having a ton of fun on stage and also on social media. Is there a seriousness to your time in the studio, or, you know, you definitely seem like you guys have a lot of fun together.
Well, if you're not having a whole lot of fun, I don't think you're doing it correctly.
Okay.
If you're not engaging an audience and making them, like, you know, when I get up there, I want to have people forget about their problems, rock out a little bit, have too much fun, scream a little too loud, you know, sweat a little too much. Like, I want them doing what I'm doing. So that's the vibe. Yeah, we're a fun band, however you want to put it. You know, there's some serious thought put into the way the live show's put together. It's not like we just walk up there, you know, hammered and go through all shows.
No.
I'm, if anything else, I'm tougher to myself than I'll allow anybody else to be. So I'm a little a little bit of a focus freak nerd, like, and especially in the studio, I get over intense. Having a good producer that keeps the mood light is really important for me because that keeps everybody positive instead of the opposite. You know, I think all of us who've made records have had situations with record producers, and, you know, God love them. They think they're getting the best performance out of you, and that's their job.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them take like a taskmaster, like a little too tough approach. I've had the opposite experience with almost everybody I've ever worked with. And in the case of this Louder Harder record with Jeff Pilson, he and I were friends like back when I was in Lynch Mob, but we never worked together and just respected each other's, you know, vibe and thing. He's a super talented guy, you know, musical guy. Just like when we worked with Keith Olsen. Keith Olsen's a legendary producer. So he's a song guy. Jeff is a real musical guy, and we got along on a lot of levels, but we kept it light in the studio and very positive and fun. So we had a great experience. I just tend to focus too much. I mean, I will quite literally do nothing but drink coffee and water for, you know, 14 to 17 hour days in the studio. I spend a ton of time. Yeah. You know, and just realize I've been here since the early morning. It's like 9 o'clock at night and I've had nothing but coffee.
Well,
we got a whole lot done, you know, and then, so the studio is actually, you spend a lot of time sitting down or whatever, but it's exhausting for me because I'm just, you know, microscopically focused on everything we're doing.
Cool. Well, I had mentioned to Jeff that I was interviewing you, and he said to be sure to tell you hi. So,
it's funny because I just was texting back and forth with Pilsen like a couple of days ago.
Yeah. That's what I was doing over the weekend.
He's doing the Foreigner thing.
Yes. We just saw him a couple weeks ago with them up in Cleveland. So very cool show.
Yes. Love those guys.
So I've got to ask you about Lynch Mob. Do you ever see yourself working with George or Mick again?
You know, it's not something I'm against in any way. I don't think any of us are. That was a kind of time in history, though, and it would take something really special to be able to do that. You know, we just put our record out, so I'm a little with blinders on, you know, I'm a little myopic right now on this, and it's something, actually, once again, I live in the same town with Mick. He and I go ride motorcycles together and hang out and talk about, you know, the old days and laugh. And mostly, like, if you're around Mick, you're going to laugh a lot.
Absolutely. So tell him I said hi, because I haven't seen him in forever. So, he's a fun guy.
You know, I get along with all those guys. You just never know. I mean, as far as calling something Lynch Mob, I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
George has got that band going, and, you know, George does a lot of different projects throughout the year. Like I said, I think I'll leave it with it'll take something really special.
Sure. Well, I don't want to put you on the spot. I was just curious because I've always been a big Lynch Mob fan.
I don't mind being on the spot. That's what
So, you know, I did want to ask you, we had reviewed the Rock the Arena show in Toledo back in March, and Steven said he wasn't playing because he had had shoulder surgery. So I just wanted to check in and see how he's doing. You know, is he back to playing live with the band and everything?
That is correct. Steven had to have a little work done. It wasn't cosmetic. he played on our record. We got all the drum tracks done. He made sure, you know, that he was happy with everything. And he promptly, like the next day, went under the knife. So he spent 2+ months down and recovering. We did have shows booked. We had a really good friend of ours named Chris Beal come in and fill in, and Chris does a great job, and he's a buddy. Like, he's one of us. He's a bro.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you know, I wanted Steven back. Steven has been back since shortly before M3, so just about a month or so.
Okay.
And I'm glad to hear that. So Steven's back. He's hitting the drums like all get out. I love having him, you know, as driving the bus and being the timekeeper and those background vocals that everybody in Warrant knows and counts on, and so do I.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he did have to have a little surgery. He's back and doing great.
Awesome. Well, you know, we have to wait till October now to see you guys here in Pittsburgh, but we're looking forward to it. I hope you're not superstitious because it's on October 13th, which is a Friday this year. But you know,
if you're a student, if you know your history, you're not just afraid of those numbers. You know, you're just. Where are we? Okay, that is. You're right, Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I just looked it up today.
The next night, we're in Pence Peak, and then the next night after that, we're repeat offenders. Pretty much every year, we go to the Mohegan Sun and play in Connecticut.
Okay.
So that's three in a row. I'll be too busy to think about, ooh, it's Friday the 13th. I'm a big believer in, if I have a really lousy sound check, I'm going to have a great gig. So that's about as superstitious as I get.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Robert, on WNJR 91.7 FM and WNJR.org. We look forward to seeing you at Jurgles on October 13th.
We love the support of radio and all of that. Thank you so much. You know, it's my obligation to pimp out all of our social media. So
yeah, go for it.
Warrant Rocks is the hub of everything, and we're on every manner of social media. Some of us personally, all of us, you know, under the band banner, and we love meeting fans, you know, like connecting with people. Like I said earlier, I can't wait to bring this new record, the Louder, Harder, Faster record out, and, you know, play a couple of songs interspersed with all the songs that fans know by heart. It's really cool to turn people onto new music and have them embrace it. And we've seen that so far. We're really thankful for it. So thank you, everybody.